Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and shalom, chaverim, to all our listeners locally, 1220 AM radio, or live on the net at whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, missionaries to the lukewarm church, to wake them up, to get out of the Laodicean church and into the Jesus expectors of the Philadelphia church, especially in today's deceptive world. The Word must be your priority and passion. And knowing some very basic Hebraic roots will get you the passion, and get you all the passion you need, actually. I really didn't acquire that for myself until I better understood the Jewish roots of our faith. And especially about the end times, because that's where we are tonight. That's where we are today, and that's where we've been. And tonight we're going to continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Joel, possibly even finishing it tonight.
Possibly.
Possibly. And a reminder, well, that's verse by verse. A reminder, you can re-listen to this teaching later this week, as well as all our other programs, and it's really a wealth of biblical information. Just go to shofarministries.net. Now, as we always do, we'll begin with a prayer, and let's ask God for our blessing on our program and our listeners tonight. Thank you. We bless you, Abba, for sending your Son to save us, not by our works, but according to your mercy. The blood of Yeshua as a sacrifice that covers all our sins. Lord, we thank you for that. Your word is why we are here. So we ask you to open our ears to what you have to say to us from the prophet Joel tonight. And we want to lift up all those who have written and emailed and called us with their needs. Please meet their every need by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'd like to lift up India to you tonight, Lord, especially the concerning the hundreds of millions that are without electricity. They had some kind of a power grid failure, and some of your people, missionaries, and there's a lot of your people in India, are going without air conditioning in the worst probably time of year for that to happen, and refrigeration. So, Lord, we just want to lift up those people, and especially the ones that know you as their Savior and the missionaries, as well as all the people of India, Lord, and just may this be an opportunity for them to seek you. And in the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
I think that about covered it. I tried to pray for everything that's been going on, but that would take all night.
It sure would. Lordy. But shalom to all of you out there joining us live right here tonight, and we're here every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and this Friday we're going to be at CCC, that's Chesterland Christian Center in Chesterland, and that's 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306. We'll be there at 7 p.m. You be there.
Yes, come on out. I want to meet you.
Yep. And that's this Friday, 7 p.m., Messianic worship, and great teaching as always. Before we get into the good book tonight, now, is there any pertinent news we need to talk about?
Yes. Of course, every time we're on, I seem to be saying something about Syria because it just keeps on going and going. Mm-hmm. Assad keeps on fighting. Citizens are leaving by the thousands into bordering nations like Turkey and Jordan. And yesterday it was reported that the city of Aleppo, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's almost demolished. That's up in the north of Syria. And it's because of Assad's heavy artillery. He's just bang, 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 you know, and construction, you know. What's the word? Infrastructure is just being burned. It's terrible. But I still don't think he's going to win. I mean, none of the dictators have won yet. They all end up leaving.
Yeah, they have. But there's some other circumstances that might at least slow that process down.
Well, of course. Yeah. But the immediacy of the peril has speeded the arrival of Russian warships to Syria to counter a potential Western Arab or Israeli assault on this embattled country. And I think that's the problem, and that's what's keeping it going for so long. Believe me, I'm not in favor of anything, because either way it's going to be bad. If the Muslim Brotherhood get in there, they're going to probably be worse than Assad was,
mm-hmm.
just like in Egypt and Libya.
Yeah, I think Hezbollah is still going to wind up being there no matter who is in charge of the country, do
mm-hmm.
you think?
Well, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, London sources predict British military intervention while Iran is ready to fight off any attempt at a regime change in Damascus. So, again, we just have to keep watching.
Wow.
I also wanted to point out, too, and since we talked about the 9th of Av last week when we were on, Saturday was the actual 9th of Av, and Romney visited the Western Wall on that day, Saturday, and made many huge promises, I'm told, to Netanyahu, like Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel. So is he a man of his word? Well, Obama wasn't. When he was campaigning Obama, he also said Jerusalem would be the capital of Israel and should be undivided. Boy, did he change, or do we call it evolved?
Evolved.
Mm-hmm. Now he says, Obama, that the capital should be determined in the final status negotiations between parties. One must wonder what changed, that is, except the president wants to keep his base. He's neck and neck with Romney, and so he's saying what he has to say. And probably so is Romney, too. I mean, just the way it is campaigning.
Do you think Romney's going to keep his promise?
Well, maybe he'll have the opportunity to do so.
Well, we will see.
We will.
Yes. Okay, well, that's a good update, and I think we should get into our study now, and I'll just give a quick review. Back in 800 B.C., this is a review of what we've learned so far in the book of Joel. In approximately 800 B.C., the land of Judah had just experienced a devastating divine judgment of locusts, drought, and widespread fire that devoured all the open pastures. Now, Joel uses this judgment to prophesy God's future and a much more devastating tribulation judgment. And we saw that with the help of Isaiah 26, the confirmation of the bride entering at the resurrection, our bridal chamber of heaven, until the where we stay until the indignation is past. And then we come out of the Hadar and come back to earth with Jesus to finish the judgment that he began 7 years before he opened the sealed scroll in heaven. And that can be found in Revelation 5. And, Sheila, you also explain the two major reigns in Israel and how that's a type of Jesus' first and second comings. And that's confirmed in the book of Hosea as well. In week 7, Joel took a breather from most of the judgment, and we saw how Israel will be restored and the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and especially in the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
And then last week, we saw where God will judge the sheep and goat nations of Matthew 25, verses 31 to 34. And we saw in the book of Joel, verses 3 through 8, some more of what the past enemies of Israel did to them through the years, and that was giving God his good reasons for his judgment of those nations.
Very good. Thank you, John.
So that's about what we covered. Now, it's all archived there if you want to go listen, re-listen.
That's right, and I sure hope that you will. I learned so much from, of course, it was tapes when I was learning most of my things, but you could pause it, stop it, and chew on it and redo it. I mean, it's just a great way to learn. Better than a class. You can't keep asking the teacher to repeat that.
And you can fast forward.
That's right.
You
know, Amen.
It's cool.
So I hope you take advantage of that. So tonight we want to cover the last war that we see in Revelation that Joel is going to describe as well. So the two are confirming each other. And we will cover the millennial kingdom. Maybe.
Still tonight.
We should.
We should. Anyway. You can go to our radio podcast archives on shofarministries.net, and you can catch up with all the details of this great prophetic book.
Yes, and as I was saying, there's just so much to glean from the prophets. And I hope those that are tuning in every Tuesday are really learning and being stirred up to want more of the meat that the New Testament says we're supposed to be on. And I would love to hear from you. Drop me a line, Sheila at shofarministries.net.
Well, I found the more I learn from the Bible, the more I want to learn. As a matter of fact, it kind of draws you in that way.
Well, and that's the key, John. Mm-hmm. You have to put your foot in first and get going on it, and then a hunger develops. So many people will, you know, especially, well, anybody who wants to start reading the Bible, they have this awful, well, I can't get it, or it's too hard, and you know, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. because they don't give it enough time.
Yeah.
It, the Holy Spirit grows as you grow in the Word.
Yeah.
So.
And that's, and it doesn't mean, you don't have to know Hebrew, you don't have to know Greek, but you should have a teacher that knows a little bit of both of those languages. And
now, we've talked about references that you can use, the interlinear and stuff like that. It was always helpful.
Yeah.
But the main thing is you just got to get in there and dig. And don't give up too easily, because it doesn't get really interesting until you've got a lot of the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Mm-hmm. And the first gold nugget that the Holy Spirit leads you to, you'll be ecstatic.
That's right.
You know, that'll get you hooked.
Oh, yeah. I found another one today, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
You never stop learning. Never.
Never. And are we going to hear that one today?
Yeah, later.
Later?
Later,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, John,
okay,
will you read in chapter 3 where we left off last time as we see the final wrap-up now all the way to the millennial kingdom, where he says the mountains of Israel will drip with new wine. But first, we have to cover the last war. Actually, I think it sounds like he's daring them.
God's daring them. Well, verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up.
Okay. Well, these are the heathens left. Now, again, we're at the end of the tribulation. I'm thinking like the last day or, you know, because we know that Jesus comes back on the very last day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's right there at the culmination. And boy, am I reminded of Psalm 2, where God and Jesus laugh in the heavens, that anyone could even imagine going against God. But Satan does, and he gets his followers to do what he says. Also, I want to mention that the word mighty is the Hebrew word gibor, number 1368 in your Strong's, and it just means very, very strong men, powerful warriors, not your normal type of strong man.
This
but
is above average.
Yes,
strength.
And in fact, what's interesting, that in Genesis 6, you know, when it describes the giants, it calls them mighty men. Goliath was called a mighty man.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Revelation 19:18 also makes reference to the birds eating the flesh of the mighty men. Let's just turn there real quick, John.
Okay.
Because we'll be back and forth, Revelation and Joel tonight.
Okay. We're going to...
It's Old Testament and New Testament confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Are you covering Revelation? I'll cover Joel here.
Okay. All right. I wanted to read Revelation 19, verse... let's do 18.
Okay. You got it?
Yes, I do. And that you, let me start in 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and together gather for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, these are the unsaved, free and slave, both small and great. So you see, John, there's going to be two suppers when Jesus comes back.
Oh.
There's going to be
the feast of the fowl.
The feast for the fowl to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, of course, we'll have our wedding reception supper.
Okay, now we'll...
A little bit later.
Now we'll back up to the book of Joel.
Yeah, but this is all when Jesus comes back, by the way, and when we read, starting verse 11, in that same chapter, it talks about how he's returning. So that's the last day of the tribulation. So let's just keep that in mind as we continue.
Okay. Verse 10, are we ready for that? Verse
10,
beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong.
Strong means mighty.
Mighty, and that's the same word.
That's the same word, number 1368. So they use it interchangeably. But he's saying, be mighty. If you're weak, you got to be mighty. But it's interesting because Micah 4, 1 and 2, and Isaiah 2 and 4 make reference to this, only it's backwards. And I think we should read at least one of those scriptures, John.
Well, let's see. In Isaiah...
Yeah, let's do that one.
Let's do the Isaiah one. It
2, verse 4.
Well, here I thought I had it there, but I don't.
Well, I'll start it. He's talking about the judgment again.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he shall judge between the peoples and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. So it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So what's he talking about? The millennial kingdom.
That's right.
And it's just the opposite of what he's saying here in Joel, because there's a war going to happen before we get to the millennial kingdom. And it's also war that's talked about in Revelation as well, the final war.
And of course, you would know this, listeners, and our students that follow along with us, that the first part of the millennial kingdom is actually dark and scary.
Well, and we're going to
lots of bad stuff.
We're going to hit a verse that's going to infer the same, too, that tribulation is part of the 1,000 years.
Right.
And it starts in the dark because it's the spiritual darkness of the tribulation period. And we've covered that on our past shows as well.
Yeah.
But I also want to mention that on the UN building, they actually have what Isaiah 2:4 says about beating the swords into plowshares.
Well, that's what I've heard.
Peace.
Yeah, I've heard that. And is that the UN building in New York? Or
It's definitely in New York, and I'm thinking it's on all of them, but I can't be sure because I haven't seen them.
Well, that'd be nice if somebody would call in that's been to New York and seen the building and saw that scripture on it. I would like to hear that.
I'll bet there's people that have.
I bet there are. Let's see, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord.
Okay. Basically, he's saying that assemble and come, all people. Okay, the word for nations is goy, and it just means people. And I always like to differentiate because sometimes you think it's the country. And it's not the case. It's come, assemble all, everybody, people, okay, goy, and gather together all around. And then it says, actually, the interlinear says, oh, Yahweh, bring down your mighty ones. So this is a war that's coming, and Revelation 19 talks about Jesus returning on a white horse, and his armies will be with him.
Wow.
His mighty ones.
His mighty ones. Okay, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Let the nations be wakened, again, the peoples, like you said, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. That was a very rich passage there.
It certainly is. Now, we've talked about the valley of Jehoshaphat, so let's review that as well.
Okay.
I think it was last week or the week before.
Yeah, I think it was last. Well, it was the week before because that's when you had the nice map that we could. We apologize because we couldn't show that to you.
I know.
Over the radio, but.
But basically, it's an ancient map, and it actually has a valley that says the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and it's very difficult to find any maps with this on. And I just stumbled upon it. I'm sure it was the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually up on the north of the Temple Mount.
It's actually the sides of the north.
Okay.
That's what I would call it.
But it's above the Temple Mount. It's up on top.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to get that picture in for people. And this is where he's going to sit to judge the people.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting is, and this is the gold nugget that I just saw today, is that when I was looking at another map of the same area, only it doesn't say Valley of Jehoshaphat, okay, so you have to put the two together kind of a thing. But in that map, it actually, up on the top, has a little word that says, what does it say up there, John?
Garden Tomb?
Yeah, it says Garden Tomb.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Israel, I do remember the Garden Tomb being to the north of the temple, okay? And then it just dawned on me today that when I was at the Garden Tomb, every time I was there, four times at least, I actually looked up to my left, and you can see Calvary.
Wow.
Yeah, over to my left, up a little higher, so it's still north.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'm thinking, now looking at this map, that's where the Valley of Jehoshaphat is. So could it be that God is going to judge his enemies in the same place, or nearby for sure, where he was crucified.
Well, if it was from Calvary, if he judges the nations from Calvary, the very spot that he was judged unfairly, would be very, very ironic. And that sounds like our God's irony is really something.
I know. Well, that's what it looks like to me. I mean, it's really quite there. And what's also right there on the ancient map where it says the tomb, it says the tombs of the kings. So in ancient times, that was a rich area where kings were even buried.
So the garden tomb was actually at another time called the tombs of the kings? A way long time?
Yeah, it was a rich area. Rich men were buried there.
Wow.
And, of course, Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man.
That's right.
And so it's just all in that area up in the north. Hmm. And then, again, Calvary was right next to the tomb.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. If that judgment takes place there, that's going to be, well, I won't get ahead of ourselves. That's a sheep and goat judgment,
yes.
I believe.
I do want to point out, too, if anybody would like this map, if they just want to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I would be glad to send you a copy, okay? P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if you want to tuck in a love offering, of course, that will never be refused.
That's right. And it's kind of a cool thing. I think I'm going to pin mine up at home.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice area map.
Okay, now, verse 13?
Well, no, you know, I think I would like to read, because we didn't get to do this last time.
Okay.
I want to read about this judgment now. Because I'm thinking that this judgment that's going to be taking place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat could be the same judgment of the sheep and goats.
Well, that's what,
because it's at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn to Matthew 25, and then we'll have to take a quick break.
Yeah, you have it there.
I do.
You do.
I do.
Good for you.
Okay, I'm going to read 31 through 34, and then I'm going to skip over to 41.
Okay.
So, 31 says in chapter 25, then the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's Revelation 19, and all the holy angels with him, that's his warring angels, you know.
His mighty ones, too.
That's right. We're with him also, by the way. Then he will sit on the throne of glory. Now, this is probably going to be some kind of throne in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, because the temple won't be up yet. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be his chair or seat or something. And he's all the peoples, the word is nations in the English, but it's all the people will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, because they're the righteous, and the goats on the left. And isn't that the same way today? We have our righties and our lefties. Don't we? Far right, far left.
Okay.
I mean, it's just amazing. They took it from the Bible.
I think they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
And these are the people that were made it through the tribulation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then 41 says, skip over to 41. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Wow.
How many times have I heard people say, well, there is no hell? I think, well, call it what you want, but it's fire.
Yeah, it is. And Jesus's ministry was based on telling people to repent because there is a hell, and
that's
you
right.
don't want to spend time there,
that's right.
any time there.
That's right. All right, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, I think we're going to be able to finish.
Okay, well,
hopefully.
Well, before we go away for a little bit, let me tell you, Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. What does that mean? All donations are tax deductible, I guess, right? And they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. And you can use PayPal on our website or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries Box 513, Burton 44021. And all donations automatically, put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email address as well if you have one. Be sure to check out the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. And the phone lines will be open for your end time question. And I'll give you that number right now, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back.
After a song.
Yeah, by the Imperials.
Hello, thank you for listening. I'd like to take this moment to extend a very personal invitation to each and every listener. All this week, Liberty Valley Church in Macedonia is holding Vacation Revival, a week-long evangelistic campaign to bring men and women to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This includes a street preaching blitz on Public Square in Cleveland on Tuesday, July 31st. That's Tuesday, July 31st during the lunch hour. This, along with community outreaches, backyard Bible clubs, and then finishing Friday night at 7 p.m., Bruce Musselman will be at the church preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
For more information or to get involved, contact Liberty Valley Church in Macedonia at 330-554-7606. That's 330-554-7606. Or contact us at libertyvalleychurch.org. That's libertyvalleychurch.org.
Do you want to learn how to make a ton of money flipping houses right here in Cleveland? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple two-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. Hi, my name is Than Merrill, and I'm the star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Cleveland area who want to learn how to make $10,000 to $40,000 per deal in your spare time without using any of your own money. Cleveland is a perfect market for my system. And next week, I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you can learn how to make a lot of money flipping houses in your spare time.
Interested candidates can get two free tickets to the workshop by calling 1-800-645-3092. Seating is extremely limited, so call right now to get your two free tickets at 1-800-645-3092. That's 1-800-645-3092.
I listen to the trumpet of Jesus, how the world hears a different sound.
Moving on up to a better.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Did you hear that bass voice
wow.
in that song? That was the Imperials. You know, we pulled that one off the shelf, blew the dust off it, and brought it in tonight
really
because
did.
That's a cool song. It hasn't been played a lot in the, lately.
And I love songs that just kind of get you moving.
Yeah.
You know?
And that one does.
We have so much joy in the Lord because of our salvation, and so many people are just kind of like beaten down and just not. You know, they want to be sad. Not that they want to be sad. They're going through something. And it's just, you need to be lifted up.
You do need to be lifted up. And Jesus can lift you up. And he will. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the lines are open. The phone number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. That's for your end time question. And just want to remind you, we'll be right back here next Tuesday at 8 p.m., same time.
And Lord willing.
Lord willing. And why not, you know, recommend this program to a friend and make make it a little Bible study for the both of you, or maybe three or four or five or six. Anyway, and coming up, Chester Christian Center, we'll be there at 7 o'clock Friday. Join us there, please. We have fun. We have worship, and we do some Hebrew songs.
And I think we're going to celebrate my birthday.
Oh, you think?
I have that funny feeling.
Okay. Are you going to tell us how old you are?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you were. But come out, and you might get some birthday cake. It's not a promise, but you may.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one thing you will get is you'll get super good teaching.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I've learned a lot from it.
Mm. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
All right, let's continue on. We're going to get into verse 13.
Okay, verse 13. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the wine press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great.
Okay, now that's a heavy scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it tells us that the end of the tribulation will be in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So again, going back 7 biblical years, or if you want to be really exact, 2,580 days, will take you right back to the fall as well when the tribulation begins. How about that?
How about that?
It's a little bit of just easy math.
And it's going to be, we think, Yom Kippur, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And we have reasons for that. And, of course, that's all on my radio archive.
Yeah, you can check that. You check out why we think this, or we have this particular, we're teaching this. And just go to the archives. And all our radio programs have been archived there for you.
That's right. And Yom Kippur is specifically 9/18 of last year.
Wow, you have that one down.
I do.
Hmm.
All right, now let's confirm, though, we'd like to confirm, in the New Testament scripture, let's look at Revelation 14, because I don't know if you understand how the book of Revelation goes. It's mostly chronological, but every once in a while there'll be what we call a parenthetical section, either maybe one paragraph, two paragraphs, sometimes even a whole chapter. But it's just to enlighten people like, okay, now this is really bad, but here, look at what it's going to be, okay? Or look at how bad it can be. But it's just like, by the way, type of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a standard literary form, right?
Yes, it is.
So.
And Revelation 14 is where I want to go.
Oh, 14 verse.
14.
Verse 14. I've got it. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle.
Okay, now there's a sickle that we just talked about. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe.
Hmm.
Continue on.
Okay. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat...
Temple of heaven, by the way.
Temple of heaven. To him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap. For the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Cool. So he went, so he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped.
Okay, read 17.
Or harvested. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle.
Keep going.
Oh, and another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.
That's right. It's in the fall.
It's in the fall. How about next verse?
Okay.
So the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God.
And one more.
One more. Okay. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs.
That's a big war.
That's a big war.
That's a big war. And again, it kind of is a parenthetical chapter going from 14. Then from there, you would actually go on to 19. But again, it's just sitting there, and then they go through the bowl judgments first.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's the sickle. So when you see that, you know that judgment is a sign of judgment, and it will be in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the tribulation, the final one.
You know what I think is cool is that in the book of Revelation and all the prophets, actually, they all are saying the same thing.
Yes, they are. They really are.
They have their different characters. Maybe they're different writing styles, but they're all basically saying the same thing.
And, you know, as long as we're in Revelation, and I said it's parenthetical to 19, let me just read Revelation 19, 11 through 16 that we didn't get last time.
Okay, go for it.
Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Okay, that's Jesus, of course.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And by the way, this is the enemy's blood now, not his blood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. I believe that's us. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he, or the people, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And there are more scriptures that say that.
Yes.
But this is a cool picture.
It really is. It just shows you that there's going to be a final war,
mm-hmm.
okay, and a judgment,
mm-hmm.
and then in going into the millennial kingdom.
There almost has to be.
Well, of course.
Okay. And that's a very vivid picture. I'm glad you read that.
Yeah.
Let's go to verse 14.
Okay.
Okay, this is, okay. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
Okay, basically, this is, the word decision is harutz,
mm-hmm.
and it means threshing, sharp, eager decision. And I believe, again, this valley of decision is just referring to the valley of Jehoshaphat, where God will make that decision of who's going in with the goats or who will be with the sheep.
Hmm.
It's called the valleys of decision. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of them, because multitudes by multitudes. Quite
wow.
a few that have followed the beast, actually, and unfortunately. Hmm. There'll be a lot of that.
I'm sure. Well, we're not going to be there for that, and I'm just blessing the Lord for that. That we're going to be part of the bride, and we'll be in our Hadar.
At this point, we might be watching, though.
Oh, we might be.
Because we're coming down.
Coming down, and we'll be watching.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So.
Ooh. Well, it looks like we'll be busy.
Yeah.
Verse 15.
Yeah.
The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness.
Yeah, and again, we've heard that. Many times it's the last day of the tribulation, and again, I believe it's on a Yom Kippur. I'd like to read Matthew 24, and I'm actually still there. So,
why don't you get it then?
I will read. This is the end of the tribulation period. The whole Matthew 24 talks about the first half of the tribulation, goes into the second half of the tribulation, beginning in verse 15. And then in verse 29, it has the very end, the very last day of the tribulation begins in verse 29. So I'm going to read that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, when it says immediately, that's metatauta, and it means right away.
Oh.
So at the moment that probably I would say sundown on Yom Kippur,
mm-hmm.
that's when Jesus will return.
Wow.
Now, it says immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. We've seen that already. And the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, did we read 15 yet? Yes, we did. That's mm-hmm. what we just read. I thought it sounded familiar.
Yeah. And also, Isaiah backs this. I mean, this is the same message in Isaiah 13:10.
That's right.
For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened, and it's going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine.
Okay. And in verse 30 of Matthew, it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth, and that's an idiom for the unsaved, the unrighteous, tribes of the earth, that means they want to make the earth their home,
mm-hmm.
or earth dwellers is another one, okay? And they will mourn, and because they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Again, we've been reading all this in Revelation and that. And verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. Now that, again, is the great trumpet that's only blown in Yom Kippur. So that's
mm-hmm.
a huge hint.
Mm-hmm.
And they will gather together his elect, that's those saved during the tribulation, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And this is a huge scripture that people get confused because they think, oh, there's the elect, that means they're going through the tribulation. And they don't understand there's different elects
mm-hmm.
depending mm-hmm. on the time of.
There is an elect during the period of the tribulation, obviously.
Well, and who was the elect in the Old Testament, John?
Well, I believe it was Israel.
Right, mm-hmm. and that's found in Isaiah 45:41. We won't take the time to look there, but it's definitely in there. And we are the elect today, but when we're gone, mm-hmm. there will be a new elect, the first fruits of that time, according to Revelation 7, that will be the new elect. And
cool.
besides that, these are the angels that are gathering. We're at the rapture. We are called up to meet him in the air. Totally different. This is the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right.
And the second coming is nowhere close to what the first one was. He's coming in power and glory.
Oh, yes.
And he's coming to take care of business, and that's kind of
right. And
serious.
You can see that he's even got the blood of enemies on his clothing already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
heavy. This is heavy stuff.
It is heavy stuff.
And
it's okay. I'm trying to keep it light, though. I'm hoping that everyone understands that I'm not too difficult. Am I?
No.
Okay. Good.
No, I don't.
You had to say that.
Well, okay. Verse 16.
Yes.
The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel.
Okay, basically the reason that he's roaring, of course, is because it represents that he's fulfilling the role of the lion from the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and of course he's going to protect his people, so we can go on.
Okay, verse 17. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens, that means strangers to God, shall ever pass through her again.
Wow. Does that mean that there's not going to be a future Gog in Jerusalem? Because we know Revelation 20 talks about the enemy being let loose for a while
mm-hmm.
to tempt the humans that are still left on earth during the millennial kingdom before we go into eternity, but they will not be able to get into Jerusalem.
That's right, and they put a big army together to attack, but we don't have anything that we won't have anything to worry about. Gog and his hordes?
No, we're going to be the bride of, or the queen of Christ now, okay,
mm-hmm.
the wife, and we'll be in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be up a little bit higher. You know, in fact, I think the only mountain that's left after the earthquake, everything is flattened except Jerusalem will get a little higher. And that's where we're going to be.
Wow.
Now, we will be able to go down amongst the people and teach and do anything we want. But during the time of the devil, when he is loosed again, mm-hmm. we're going to be staying in Jerusalem.
I would like to be there now myself.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
You got to go to the Garden Tomb. And,
I did.
And you've really put flesh to all these verses, and it's really great. Let's see, let's go to verse
18.
And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of acacias.
Okay. Acacia, again, this is Shittim, and it's the north of the Dead Sea up on top, and it's in a desert. So naturally, it's known for its dryness, and so being flooded with water is going to be unusual.
Oh, okay.
And I am told, and I don't know for sure, but I'm told that the burning bush was actually an acacia bush. Have you heard that, John?
I have.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
And it's probably a tradition that says that.
I think so. And also, this verse confirms again that the tribulation is the beginning part of the last 1,000 years of history, ending with the Messianic Kingdom, which would be, what, 993 years then.
That's cool. That's right. Okay. Verse 19, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness because of violence against the people of Judah, for they have shed innocent blood in their land.
Okay, now this for sure applies to Edom, but I want to mention about Egypt. Egypt actually will be a desolation, but it's going to be restored, however, according to Zechariah 14, okay, and Isaiah 19:22. And I think I'd like to read that before we talk about Edom. Do you have Isaiah 19:22?
I probably do. Yeah, I'm pretty close to that right now. 19:22 says, oops, one more page. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it.
There you go.
They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. Happy ending
that?
For Egypt, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, they've been around for an awful long time, and I have to say that when Mubarak was president, he really did well for Israel. I mean, he didn't attack them or anything, and he even helped them when they gave Gaza away as far as the borders go.
Yeah, I think he helped protect the borders, and he kept his treaties going with as far as the, oil or something, or gas or something, I don't know.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Now, Edom's a little different story because it's had continual ill treatment of Israel. Of course, this is the descendants of Esau, and that really is today's Palestinians. Of course, they're mixed with Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, whom our leaders are saying they're moderate, nice people, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in Obadiah, which I think we're going to do next, we're going to examine this further, the genealogies and things of that of Esau. But remember, Egyptians just don't seem to have that inner hatred as the descendants of Esau did.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Esau, even though he married the daughter of Ishmael eventually, he also married he had a Canaanite wife, he had a Hittite wife, he had a Amalekite wife, and those are pretty evil people, by the way. And
you said something about if the ends in ite.
Yes. Well, I was listening to a teaching, and I'll just say it. I don't want to get into it because it's really too heavy, but I was listening that they could be descendants of Goliath.
Okay, so
you know,
kind of
that
related,
area.
Related to the Nephilim,
the
well,
bad,
we're not going to go
bad
there.
Bad people.
Yeah, okay.
But Haman and even Herod came from the Amalekites.
Okay.
And again, we'll talk about that when we talk about Obadiah, but anyway, they will not be restored.
Well,
Egypt will.
Okay.
In verse 20, we're going to have to hurry on.
Okay, verse 20, these are some comforting verses.
Yes.
But Judah shall abide forever.
Amen.
And Jerusalem from generation to generation.
Always.
And verse 21, for I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted. For the Lord dwells in Zion.
That's right. And, of course, they had not all been acquitted until Romans 11 when they all get saved.
That's right.
And that's during the tribulation period. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a wonderful blessing to know that. And it is the affliction that is going to bring them to their knees. And when they will all give their hearts to the Lord. And one of the catalysts, wars, of course, will be the war of Gog and Magog. Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Other than, I have a question. We didn't get a call, but do you have time for a question?
Yes.
Okay. Why do we need to know this as the body of Christ now? Why do we need, well, I can see why Israel needs to hear the consolation, you know. But, mm-hmm. but we're not going to actually be in the tribulation, but we will be coming back. And how does this knowledge serve us?
What are you saying? I don't know what you're asking.
Well, I just, you know, we're way in the future here with this.
Yeah.
And
not so much in the future.
Well,
it's going to be soon.
That's going to be very soon. But
it's,
I guess,
just understanding end time prophecy, I think, is
okay. And still seeing the types
Jesus
or the pictures.
Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, so if you know prophecy, you'll be more like him.
Well, I've got to think that when we're gone, that there's going to be people who have listened to this program secretly, and they are going to remember what was said.
Oh, Jewish people, maybe?
All, yeah.
Anybody?
Anybody. Okay. And they're going to go, wow. And then there'll be a tribulation saint.
Okay. Amen, John.
Okay.
And with that, we're going to have to say bye-bye.
Yeah. Let's see. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your whole life, now's a good time to do it. Okay? If you only have the head knowledge and not really have him in your heart, just all you got to do is get on your knees and repent of your sins and commit your life or recommit your life to Yeshua. And he's the Messiah of all. Remember, it's your choice to choose him. So you make it your decision where you want to spend eternity. God really doesn't send anyone to hell. That's something that we decide for ourselves. And God says, choose life. Choose Jesus. You know, choose forgiveness. Come on. It's very easy to do. And God loves you.
And there's only two places, and we saw one in the scripture just a few minutes ago.
Yes. You don't want to go there. If you have a question for Sheila or would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the old office, 440-834-9006. Any and all donations are extremely important to this vital Hebraic, or they are vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on our webpage or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And now we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
And I'm going to use the new interpretation that I just learned by a Greek scholar. It says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hope to see you Friday in Chesterlin, and join us next week, Tuesday at 8 p.m. Till then.
Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Shall.
See you next time.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.